me today, Pastor. We appreciate the opportunity to be here. And as you say, we've been around for a little while. I've been in ministry 35 years and been enjoying the blessing of God. God has blessed us. There's lots of things I could share with you, but I really want to share the word with you today. And I might just share a couple of testimonies. I haven't always been a minister. I used to be a policeman in Ireland, and you know what they do with policemen in Ireland? They shoot them. So I decided I'd take a safe job, and I became a bouncer. All right. I think I've seen some of you guys somewhere else. And I worked in clubs and pubs and dance halls and places like that, and my job was to beat people up for a living. And I was good at it. But then, you see, I got married to a girl who was a born-again Christian, whose father sat in meetings with Smith Wigglesworth. And when she began to get prayer ties into my life, even though we were married, she began to really pray, Lord, do something with my husband. And you know, I had a motor accident, not because she prayed, but because of another circumstance. And I ended up in hospital for 14 months. My leg was broken in five places. I had gangrene. They were going to cut my leg off. And all of those months, Elizabeth prayed, Lord, save my husband. Lord, heal my husband. And oh, yes, Lord, clean up his mouth. So nothing happened during all of those 13 months. But in the 14th month, she was reading the Bible, and she saw a little verse in John 14, verse 13 and 14, where Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, give glory to the Father, I'll do it for you. And she said, God, you're not a man to tell a lie. And the next day I got saved. I mean, it just takes one word from God to change your life. Now, we have lots of testimonies we can share. There's a couple that I really want to share with you this morning, and the other one is about Elizabeth. We came back from 10 weeks overseas. We'd been in America preaching and teaching and conferences, and I'd been with at Kenneth Copeland's headquarters and places like that. And we were home just a few days, and we were sitting in Elizabeth's sister's home saying, when we were in America, we shot over to Ireland, we visited some people, we did a little bit of preaching too, and Elizabeth suddenly said, I don't feel very, and fell on the floor. That's all she said. And she went into a coma. I prayed with her, and I've seen six people raised from the dead, and I'm expecting her to jump up immediately, but she didn't. So I called the ambulance. We went to hospital, they examined her, did some tests, did a scan and so forth, and the doctor said, Mr. Campbell, prepare your heart. Your wife has had a very serious brain aneurysm. That's in the language center of her brain. She will probably die before we ever get to do any surgery. But he says, if she doesn't die before we get to the surgery, she will be a vegetable and unable to speak, and she'll be paralyzed down the right-hand side. I took his hands in my hands and said, sir, I understand you're a wonderful doctor, but I'm going to go to a higher authority. And I prayed for him. He turned out to be a good Catholic man. He just agreed with the prayer. He operated on Elizabeth's brain for 6.5 hours. When she came out, she was paralyzed. She was unable to speak and so forth. But within 2 days, she was fine. Come up here. We just thank God that God answers prayer, but when prayer is based on the Word, that makes all the difference. Do you want to say something? Speak in there.
You know, we're desperate for God, like that chorus went. But you know what I find out? God is desperate for us.
Amen.
He's so desperate for us that he'll do anything to get us and to worship and for the fellowship with him. And that's why he sent Jesus, because he's desperate for us.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. She used to be a very quiet little girl. Then when she came through with this operation and God did something in her brain, now we can't get her to shut up. But now, you're having a breakthrough this morning, a breakthrough offering. I just want to share one little thing before I go into what I believe God wants me to say to you this morning. But I travel the world. I'm a teacher, really. That's what I am. So I trust you're prepared to hear some things this morning and apply them and grow in them. In 1971, when I came to this country, I was a registered disabled person. And a man from Sydney called Norman Armstrong, whom some of you may have heard, the older ones, I guess, may have heard of Norm Armstrong, he prayed with me in 1971, and God put 2.5 inches of bone back in my leg that the doctors took out 10 years before. So I had a miracle. At the same time, Norman Armstrong said this to me. He said, God wants you to take His word to His people and take His people from where they are in their experience to where He says they are in His word. So that's what I do. I just bring the word to you. Now, about probably 15 years ago, I suppose, we were teaching in a Baptist church in Melbourne. I teach in Baptist churches. After we finish, they're usually Baptist-costal, but anyway, we were teaching in this Baptist church in Melbourne, and the pastor said to me on that morning, he said, oh, Brother Norman, he said, we're believing God for a really good offering this morning. I said, that's good. We should believe God for a good offering every Sunday. But he said, we need a special offering because we owe some money on this building. And I said, well, how much do you owe? He says, well, we owe $120,000. And I said, can you believe God for a breakthrough that will break the back of the debt? And he said, I don't know. I said, well, will you let me receive the offering? So I got up and taught on breakthrough offerings. I taught about every seed that you don't sow is a harvest that you have already decided not to reap. And talked to these Baptist people, about 30 of them, 35 of them. Most of them were probably 50-plus people in age. They received the offering that morning, and the pastor took us, Elizabeth and I, out for lunch. We went to the Pizza Hut. I thought, okay. He said, I suppose you'd like to know what the offering was. I said, hey, it was a good one, I know that. I said, what's your normal offering? He says, well, our normal weekly offering is about $300. I said, what was it today? He said, $67,000.
Yes, amen. I received
it. Do you understand? See, this is the answer.
Amen.
Now, you guys have been having some good teaching on finances. I understand that. And when I spoke with your pastor a couple of weeks back, he asked me to talk to you about the prosperity of healing. And that's what I'm going to do this morning. Amen. See, because prosperity is not just in the financial realm. We have, in the last, I guess, 10 or so years, we've given away, or sown, I should say, we've sown 5 motor vehicles. And we still have, God keeps giving them back to us, you know. We're driving around in one that's been provided for us, and we're believing for another one. And about 2 years ago, God began to speak to me about an airplane, and I was very interested in what Jerry Savelle had to say when he came to Melbourne, because he talked about believing for an airplane, and God said, well, why don't you believe for a hangar to put it in? So God spoke to me about having an airplane, and I dismissed it, really. I said, Lord, I don't need an airplane. You know, Qantas does a good job, or Virgin Blue do a good job. I really don't need an airplane, but in the last 2 years, God has supplied us with a pilot, so I guess there's a plane coming somewhere. And the pilot's sitting right there. Praise the Lord. See, God is good. He meets the need even before you ask. All right. Tell you a little story. And I trust there's nobody here this morning like that. This is a little story someone told me, and I thought it would just help to loosen you up a little bit. About a man who decided he wanted to be in a monastery, and he went to a monastery, and he joined up the particular order. And in that particular order, they were only allowed to speak 2 words every 7 years. So he's there for 7 years, doing all his gardening and all the things that he did. At the end of the 7th year, the abbot called him in. He said, what's your 2 words? He said, food's bad. It's another 7 years in the garden doing all the work around the place. Abbot calls him in again. He's now been there 14 years. What's your 2 words this time? Bed's hard. So he's now gone 14 years. After 21 years, he comes in for his 3rd interview. The abbot says, what do you want to say this time? What are your 2 words? He says, I quit. It took him 21 years to realize he could get out of this deal that he'd gotten himself into. But you know what the abbot said to him? He says, I'm not surprised because all you've done since you've been here is complain. So I trust you're not going to be complaining this morning. No one here like that. Praise the Lord. All right. If you got your Bible, that would be great because, you know, we need the Word of God. And we're going to talk, as I suggested, on the prosperity of healing. And God wants you to be well. Now, I want you to understand that God really isn't too concerned whether you get healed medically or miraculously. He just wants you well. The scripture declares that. I want that you should prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So God wants us to be well. The devil doesn't want you to be well. The devil wants you to be sick so you can't fulfill the things that God has called you to do and extend the kingdom of God. So I'm going to say something to you, and I want you to get a hold of this. If you're confessing your sickness, you're acknowledging that the devil is winning. But if you're confessing your health, guess what? You're acknowledging God is winning. See, you're not a sick person trying to get well. You're a well person, and the devil has got you confessing sickness. You're not a poor person trying to make a dollar to get through this week. You're already blessed of God abundantly. And the devil's trying to show you through your lack that you're not going to make it. But you see, we are the children of God. We have an inheritance. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So let's turn to a couple of scriptures. Go to Proverbs chapter 4, Old Testament. We'll start there. Now you know the verses, I'm sure. In Proverbs chapter 4. Interesting little verses these. Find about verse 20. This is the Lord speaking through the writer to Proverbs, and this is what he says, verse 20. I'll read the King James for you. First two words are, my son. Now, that's a good start. He's not talking to someone outside of the family. He's talking to family. My son. He's talking to Ian. He's talking to Jerry. He's talking to Suzette. Whatever your name happens to be. So we're family. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to us. He says, my son, listen to it, attend to my words. Give attention to my words. So we have to attend to the words of God. How many of you have got little children? All ours are grown up. We have grandchildren. This is our youngest, and she's in, okay? She doesn't like it when I tell how old she is. All right, praise the Lord. How many of you got little children? What do you do if your little child misbehaves? You give him some attention. Now, we need to give attention to the Word of God. See, so many times, when you sit in a service like this and somebody says, well, we're going to read Proverbs chapter 4, let's start at verse 20. You say, oh, yes, I've heard that before. But you see, listen to me. It's not what you have heard that's going to bring the blessing in your life. It's what you are hearing. What are your ears open to hear? Okay, let's read a little further. He says, incline your ear unto my sayings. In other words, listen to what I'm saying. Verse 21, let them, the words, not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Next verse. For they, the words, are what? Life. Say life. Life. The word of God is life. Listen to it. To those who find it. That means you're going to have to be looking for it. It doesn't just fall on you like ripe cherries off a tree. You have to be looking for the Word. You need to be searching the Word. You need to be spending time in it. You need to meditate in it. You need to cogitate it, chew it over like the old cow chews its cud. So you need to chew the Word over, find it, and then it says, and health to all of your flesh. Say all of your flesh. God's word is health to all of your flesh, not some of it. See, a lot of people come to services, especially when we used to have Sunday night services. And I remember those. Most churches don't have them now. But used to have Sunday night services. They were always when the evangelist would come in. There'd be big prayer lines and people would get slain in the spirit, you know, all that kind of stuff. And people would get healed. And that's wonderful. And that's what happened to me. And because I got healed in a meeting with Norman Armstrong in 1971... I'm now walking in health, and I'm able to do the things that I'm doing because I had a healing. But I learned along the way that I couldn't live on a healing. I had to understand how to get into health. And that's what this is all about. See, the prosperity of healing is learning how to live in health. Learning how to live in health. How do you do that? Well, you get it from the Word of God. Hey, listen to it again. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all of their flesh. Now, that word health in the Hebrew language is marpe, M-A-R-P-E, with a little acute after the E. And what it means, it's medicine. So the word of God is medicine to all. Say all. all of your flesh. The Word of God is medicine to all of your flesh, not some, all of it. In other words, if whatever your need may be physically, there's an answer in here. It's already in the book. God has already made provision for you to be well because He sent Jesus to Calvary to die for you. Whatever condition's in your body today that's not of health, you need to understand that Jesus actually took that physical condition that you were manifesting in your body today on His body at Calvary when He went there, so you don't have to have it today. Thank you. Jesus made an interesting statement. We'll come back to Proverbs in a second. But Jesus made an interesting statement in the book of, thank you, Lord, John chapter 8 is where it is. And he talks about verse 31 or 32. He talks about, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. But a little further on about verse 45, he's talking to the Pharisees. He says, you are of your father, the devil. There's no truth in him at all. Everything he does is a lie. So where did the sickness come from that's in your body today? Didn't come from God, because God doesn't have any. If God wanted to give you sickness, He'd have to say, excuse me, Mr. Devil, I need some sickness to put on Barry. God doesn't have any sickness. He can't give you sickness. He sent Jesus to die so you could be well. Sickness comes from the devil. And Jesus said He's a liar. So therefore the sickness is a lie. It may be true that you have sickness in your body, but the truth is you were healed 2,000 years ago at Calvary. See, you're not the sick trying to get well. You're the well. The devil has got you so concentrating on my problem, my sickness, my arthritis, my blood pressure, my this, my that, the other, that you start to own it. You know where we're going? Praise the Lord. All right, we're still back at Proverbs chapter 4. He says, for they are life to those that find them, and health to all of their flesh. Then listen to this. Verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12, He said this, that out of the abundance of the... Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. All right, listen to it. Next verse. Put away from thee a froward mouth. That's King James English. A froward. I used to think that was forward, but it's froward. And what froward means is not an easily managed mouth. In other words, a mouth that's not talking according to the Word. See, Jesus is the high priest of our... What? Okay, somebody look up Hebrews chapter 3 for me. Find verse 1. When you find it, say, I have it. Okay. Well, Naomi has it. Okay. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Would you read it for me, sweetheart?
Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus.
Okay. It says, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession or profession. That word confession or profession, whichever version you have in your particular Bible, is homologio or homologeo, depends which Bible school you go to. I teach in Bible schools all the time. I teach in Philippines, I teach in New Guinea and different places in America when I go, and people pronounce it differently. But the word is homologeo, H-O-M-O-L-O-G-I-A. And what it means is, listen to it, saying the same thing that God says. Jesus is the high priest of your saying the same thing that God says. Now listen, if you're not saying what God says, you're negating His ministry as your high priest. I'm going to say that again because that went over somebody's head. He is the high priest of what you say, provided you say what God says. If you're not saying what God says, then you negate or cancel out His ministry as your high priest. That's why Proverbs 18 and 21 says there is death and life in the power of the tongue. See, we have to be saying what the book says. See, this is so simple. This is kindergarten stuff. It's not difficult. It's so easy. We just need to do it. But most of us are interested in the deeper things. Oh, brother, we're past all that simple stuff. Well, how come you're sick? How come you're not able to pay your bills? Past all that simple stuff. No, you need to get this simple stuff working for you, because until you get it working for you, you're not going to get into any of the deeper stuff. It's only a theory until it's actually working for you. There's a story that I read, and I think it came from Charles Capps. I can't remember. But it's about a lady in America, and this lady was in hospital, and she was running a very high fever. And when she was running this high fever in hospital, she was burning up and burning up and burning up, and the doctors put her in a nice bath. Nothing would bring her temperature down. They tried all kinds of things to get her to cool down, and they couldn't do that. But one of the young doctors who happened to be attending her, he was a Christian, born again, went to Charles Capps' church, I understand. And when he was listening to her, she kept saying, "That burns me up, that burns me up, that burns me up." And he said, "Don't say that, lady. Don't say that. Don't use those words, that burns me up." And you know what? Within 24 hours, her temperature came down and she was okay. See, there is death and life in the power of your tongue. Is anyone reading Living Bible this morning? Living Bible? Kenneth Taylor's Living Translation? Oh, New Living. No, it's got to be a Living. Okay, Living Bible, Proverbs 18:21, Living Bible. This is what it says. Men have died for saying the wrong thing. Boy, that's a thump in the mouth, isn't it? Men have died for saying the wrong thing. Jesus died so you could live. But we keep saying the wrong things. We keep, "Oh, I got this, I got the flu, I got arthritis," you know, whatever. Don't do that. Say what God says. Start to live in it. See, the Lord is within reach of your prayer today. He's not far away. We don't have to say, "Come down from heaven." We don't have to say, "Come up from the deep." He's already within reach of your prayer. He's only a prayer away, a breath away. Do you also realize you're only one breath away from eternity? There's someone here this morning, and you've been having some trouble with a breathing problem. Seeing we're talking about one breath away from it. Who's that person? Someone, a breathing problem, like asthma or something like that? Well, look, wave at me, wherever you are. Somebody here this morning, you've had that difficulty. Breathing problem. Okay, we can go on. It doesn't embarrass me. And it's not my problem. But I'm going to give you the answer. I don't need to pray for you. I don't need to lay hands on you. Okay, I didn't see any hands go up. That's fine. We will share with you afterwards. All right. So we need to be careful what we're saying. It's so important that we say what God says. And healing is just there. It's available to you. But see, it's great to receive healing. But listen, you need revelation on the wisdom of how to stay healthy. You can't go out and say, "Well, I got healed in that meeting, you know, but I'm just going to go and I'll eat McDonald's morning, noon, and night for the next 3 weeks." I'm going to tell you something. If you eat McDonald's morning, noon, and night for the next 3 weeks, and you may be a manager in McDonald's, you're still going to get sick. You will not be able to maintain your health unless you have wisdom to understand how to live in health, and you live by the Word of God. You live day by day by the Word of God. So the Lord is not too far away. I was reading a little article yesterday, I think it was, in a little magazine that Naomi had. Do you know that there are 48,000, listen to that figure, 48,000 people in Australia who will have a stroke this year? And you know the sad thing? A number of those are going to be in church. 48,000. That's a lot of people who are going to have a stroke. Those are the figures. I have a little thing I want to read to you here, and this someone sent this to me. This has come from an American medical site that's on the internet, but this is what it says. Here's some facts about people who don't go to church and who don't have a strong faith in God. These four facts are, number one, people who don't go to church, don't have a strong faith, they have an average hospital stay 3 times longer than a person who can use their faith. 3 times longer. That's the way I was. 14 months, because I didn't know anything about faith. Second fact is, they are 14 times more likely to die after surgery. 14 times more likely to die after surgery than someone who has a faith in God. Now, people who don't have a faith and don't operate in the things of God, they are 40% higher death rate from heart disease and cancer. And they have doubled the number of strokes that those who go to church. Now, the same report said that scientists have recently discovered, in the last few years at least, that the speech nerve in your brain controls everything else. Put away from thee a froward mouth. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Men have died for saying the wrong thing, that scripture I gave you from the Living Bible. Do you understand? See, this is so important. Now, sometimes, you know, people don't get healed. And, you know, other people can cause you not to be healed. Think about it. In John 5 it is, there's a man laying by a pool. And when he's laying by that pool, the Lord comes along and tries to minister to him. And he says, but I've got nobody to help me. Nobody to help me into the pool. John chapter 5, but verse 17 or 18. Don't depend on somebody else. Get your own faith operating and believe God to heal you. See, every week we get letters and phone calls. Oh, can you go to the hospital? Can you visit this one? Can you do that? And I usually say no. Not being unkind, but the people need to spend time in the book. I'll send them a CD on healing or something like that, how to live in divine health. But they need to get into this. This is the answer. It's not me. Because, see, if I pray for someone and they're raised from the dead or whatever it is, they're healed, if they don't stay in here, next week they're going to get sick again or the week after. And as a pastor, thank God I'm not any longer, but when I was a pastor, we raised up 7 churches in Australia. And then we gave those churches away to young men that we had brought into the ministry. But we've also raised 2 churches in America, one in Texas, not all that far from where Brother Copeland is, and another one in Indiana. The one in Indiana has gone on and established another further 6 churches in Tennessee and around that area, and 38 in Mexico. So think about that. That's Gary Cooper, you know Gary. Gary Cooper, 38 churches in Mexico. Next year, 07, he's establishing a Bible college. Guess who's going to Mexico next year? I'm not so sure that I want to go to Mexico, but anyway, we'll be going there to help set it up and do some teaching. So we need to understand that we can't depend on somebody else's prayer. Don't depend on me. Don't depend on your pastor. Learn to live by faith for yourself. Now, in the area of finances, and you've been having good instruction on that, if you happen to be in our age bracket and you're, you know, now receiving some little pittance from the government, you know, they give you a little bit every fortnight. They say it'll go in your bank, and we couldn't live on that because we're traveling all the time. I mean, what the government would give us as pensioners, we couldn't even put petrol in our car. But you see, you've got to learn to live by faith in what God says, just in case the government go broke one day and they can't give you a pension. Think about it. Just the same way, you need to learn to live by faith in divine health. Because one day the doctor might not be able to help you. And here's a little thought for you. It says in the book of Psalms that we should walk in the what? The counsel of the godly. It says, do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So the opposite is true. We walk in the counsel of the godly. Question. Is your doctor a godly doctor? You've all gone quiet on me now. See, you go along to your doctor who may be a Muslim or whatever. I don't care what he is, and that doesn't bother me. But it says don't take advice from the ungodly. You go to your bank manager. You know, he gets on his knees 3 times a day and heads to the east or whatever he does. And you're giving him permission to do something with your finances. Do you know where I'm going here? You really need to have godly wisdom. If you want to know how to handle your finances, talk to this man. He's your pastor. God will hold him responsible for what he says to you. Yeah, thanks. But I mean, talk to the man of God. I mean, I can take you through stories in the Old Testament, you know, many of them. You know, Elisha and Ezekiel and Elijah and all these guys. He said, what have you got in the house? Well, you know, I've got this little bit of oil, not very much. And he said, okay, let's use that. Whatever you've got, God will use.
Yeah, amen.
And you know the whole story. Now, that story about the multiplying of the oil is an interesting one, and we're sort of digressing into financial realms again here. But the thing is this, that while that lady had all of the bottles, the containers to hold the oil, bring them in, sons. She sent her son, bring them in, bring them in, bring them in. They brought in, and then he said, there's no more. When there was no more containers, the oil stopped. If they'd had more containers, it would still have been flowing today. Why? Because God's supply is inexhaustible. But we think that God can't meet our need because our need is too big. God can give you whatever you need, provided you do it His way. I believe you guys need this whole block here. You know what? It's going to take some of that stuff to get it. But God can do that. If He can do it for a little Baptist church down in Melbourne, He can do it for Heritage of Faith here in Miami. Now, I didn't finish that story, but that little Baptist church, they got all of that money in. And what happened with them was this. I said to the pastor, whose name happens to be Bob, I said, Brother Bob, in about 3 months' time, do some teaching on finances and receive another offering. And he did that. Guess what? He got another great offering because his faith was up. He could believe God. They paid the building off. And then the next time we were down there, he said, oh, Brother Norman, he said, we've outgrown the building. I said, now that's a good problem. I said, what do you want to do? He says, we want to get another building. I'm going to look at some land. I said, well, before you look at the land, let's ask God. Because it's His money. We want to know what He says. And I'm just praying with him. And God says, tell him to build another church over the top of this one and take, you know, another 10 meters out every way and just build on the land. He's already got the land. He's got a building on it. So I suggested that to him. Now, what happened was they built another church around the outside and slowly dismantled the one on the inside, and they moved into the new building. And it's beautiful carpet, not unlike this. I think it's a green tint, but it's a bit like that. Beautiful. We've preached there often. They got this new building. And guess what? It's paid for.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Little church, Jerry Exton has been with me in America. This pastor I'm telling you about from Indiana. He came to me a number of years ago now, probably 8 or 9, 10 years ago, I suppose. And he said, oh, Norm, we want to build a building, because he'd been renting a little building up. And we'd got him a tent. He wanted a tent, so we got a tent. But that's another story. But we want to build a building. I said, okay, how much is it going to cost? Have you sat down and counted the cost? Do you know what it's going to cost you? He said, well, it's going to cost us about $60,000 to $70,000. So we gave him $1,000 first. I said, there's the first $1,000. That'll get you started. I said, now let's do some teaching with you people and let's get the finance in. Over the next 6 or 7 months, someone came, gave him some land. So that we now got land. We just have to build on it. And so they built the church. And the Americans build a little different. They build a sort of frame and then they clad it with a metal cladding on the outside. So the church was built, and when they went in, the day they first went in, it was paid for. $65,000 cash, all paid. Do you know what I'm getting at? See, you can take this whole block.
Amen.
And pay cash.
Yes.
Where's your faith? What can you believe for? All right, let's look at another scripture. We've got to get back to this message that we're supposed to be doing this morning. Go to the Gospel of St. Luke. That's L-U-K-E. Now, with my accent, because I'm Irish by birth, I'm Australian by choice, but most people think I'm Canadian. So we look at Luke. I can't say that any other way, I'm sorry. Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 17. Find Luke 17. Let me read a little bit of this to you. We read just a few verses here, starting at verse 11. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. Now, this is a story of healing of some lepers. And I like this story, and the Lord quickened it to me when I was thinking and praying about your service. verse 11, it says, "It came to pass as he," that is Jesus, "went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him were 10 lepers which stood afar off." Now, the lepers had to stand afar off. They were not permitted to be within reach of anyone else in case they gave anyone else leprosy. The law of Leviticus, I've forgotten what the figure is now, but it was a number of paces they had to be away from anyone else. And it says, "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourself unto the priest.'" Now, that was what the law demanded. The law demanded they go show themselves to the priest. And the priest would declare they were clean. So he hasn't prayed for them. All he's done is speak to them. All he said is, "Go show yourself to the priest." That's it. He's just given them a word from the word. Go back to Leviticus, you'll find it. The priest had the authority to declare they were clean. But it says, "And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." So they got a healing. 10 lepers. They went their way. They received healing. But you know what? The lepers seized the moment when they saw it was Jesus. And you have to seize the moment when you know Jesus is passing by. When you know the Lord is near. See, while we're here, he's here by his Spirit. He's just walking up and down the aisles. He's probably sitting next to you. And when your faith connects with him, see, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So I live by the faith of the Son of God. So he can connect with you. He could be sitting in that seat right next to Kai. And if Kai has a need, when his faith begins to stretch out and connect with the Lord, he gets his healing. Do you understand what I'm going? Okay. So these guys, they seized the moment. And you know, desperate people do desperate things. Sometimes we're more worried about the appearance. We're more worried about, well, what would people think if I shouted out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on me"? But I tell you, when you're doomed to die with leprosy, who cares about what anybody else thinks? You need to get to that place where you're desperate to receive from God. We have to, like Elizabeth was saying, we really have to get to that place. God wants us to be well, and he wants us to reach out and receive. They seized the moment. Yeah, I read a little scripture, and I've jotted it down here. In Psalm 118, verse 5, it says, "I called unto the Lord in my distress, and he answered me." Psalm 118, verse 5. If you're in distress today, whether that's physically or financially, call unto the Lord. He will hear you, and he will answer. See, you need to call out to God. You need to call out and receive, because we can't afford to miss one moment when he's passing by. See, you never know when he's... That's people said, "Oh, you know, you never know what God's going to do." Well, I know what he's going to do. He wants to heal you. Yeah. So that you can get into health and live a healthy life and give him the glory. He wants you to be well. Second thing about these lepers, we just do three little points for you. Second thing is this. The lepers had to walk it out. Their healing was not immediate. Sometimes we have to walk the situation out. We have to take time over this. It doesn't always happen instantly. I thank God for the people we've seen healed instantly. I received an instantaneous miracle, and I've seen lots and lots of people receive miracles instantly. But it doesn't usually happen that way. It's usually something that you receive as you go. I was doing a convention one time in Melbourne in a big tent in the Mornington Peninsula. And in that particular tent, there was a visitation of God. I mean, this is how I teach all the time. So over in the left-hand side of this tent, during the morning teaching, I did the morning teachings, and there was another evangelist from New Zealand who did the night ones. But in the morning teachings, there was a mist came in the tent. I mean, people are sitting there, and it's like a cloud over their head. Now, we saw it, but you know, we didn't make a big fuss about it, but it was there. And there was two sisters, elderly sisters, and they both had a spinal problem. Their spine was twisted, and both of them dressed alike and they walked alike. Like this. When this cloud came in and descended while I'm just teaching one morning, one of them jumped up and shouted, "I've been healed." And she was straightened, but the other one was still sitting like this. Now, the one who was still like this, she was a little upset because she said, "My sister got it. I didn't." But see, nobody prayed for her. She just, the woman's faith just touched the Lord as he came into that place. After the day of teaching was over and they'd gone home, because it was over an Easter period, they came back the next day. This one marching nice and straight, and the other one marching nice and straight too. And I got talking to him. I said, "What happened?" She said, "Well, I was a little angry yesterday when my sister got healed and I didn't, and I had to go home the same way." She says, "But you know, I got into bed last night and I really, really prayed. I said, 'Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have an attitude. I'm delighted that my sister has been healed.'" And she says, "I just felt like the Lord slipped into bed beside me, and when I woke up this morning, I was straight." Amen. Think about it. See, you don't need these hands. Thank God for the gift. My gift is teaching. Thank God for what's happening. But you see, you can receive right there where you're seated without me. So these guys, they had to walk it out. And it's often like that. You know, sometimes it's one step at a time. "Well, thank you, Lord. I receive my healing. I believe I receive. I believe I receive." Just keep walking it out. And guess what? You'll get it. It comes. When I prayed for Elizabeth, she didn't get it right away. The doctors had to help out. That man cut into her brain. I mean, think about this. If you got time later. No, I won't do that to you, love. But in this side of her brain, you can feel it's all rough there, where they cut a hole in the side of her brain about the size of a 50-cent coin, cut the skull out, went in, sucked the blood out, put a little clip in it for 6.5 hours operating in there. And nobody knows today unless they put their hand on her head. Why? Because that's what we said. When it's all over, nobody will even know that it ever happened unless we tell them, and we use it to glorify the Lord. God is a good God. She had to walk it out. It took a little while for her to walk out of it and get back into full health again. It was line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. All right. Third thing about these lepers, and we'll finish on this morning. The 10 lepers had an encounter with Jesus, but only one came back to say thanks. 10 had an encounter. Same chapter 17 of Luke, verse 17 and 18. Well, let's go back at verse. It says, "And one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet," that's Jesus' feet, "and gave him," Jesus, "thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, 'Were not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? And there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger.'" So one came back and said, "Hey, I really appreciate that. I'm healed. Thank you for that." And listen to what Jesus said. Next verse. He says, "Go your way. Your faith has made you whole." See, it's not my faith. It's your faith. Your faith has made you whole. When you come to worship the Lord. See, that's the secret. You can get healed in a worship service. The singers, musicians, we had a wonderful worship time this morning. And if you just understood some of these things a little more, you could press in and be healed right in the worship service. Because worship pleases God. We need to spend time. God wants you to move into a prosperity in healing so you can enjoy wholeness every day of your life. Do you realize that every time you go to the doctor, it costs you money? Every time you go to the pharmacy to get another little prescription filled, it costs you money. That's money that God could be using to buy the building. See, God, I want above all that you should prosper and be in healing, be in health. See, healing is only a doorway to health. I used to do healing services, and we'd pray for people. It would be midnight on a Sunday night, and I'm just all sweaty, and Elizabeth have to lay hands on me so I could drive the car home. I'd just be worn out. And then one day I was praying. I said, "Lord, this is very tiring." He said, "Well, did I tell you to do that?" Pardon? I thought that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to lay hands on the sick He said, read the scripture again. So I read it. Went back to Mark 16. These signs shall follow those who believe in my name. They shall do certain things. He says, that's a ministry commission to go out into the world. You're supposed to lay hands on the world. When I began to see that, I stopped laying hands on the saints. And I just started giving them the word. See, the word is the answer. I started giving them the word. And God brought me into this ministry where we now just give people scriptures. And I said before, someone was having trouble with their breathing. If you've decided to receive it, I can tell you what it is. Oh, there you are. I knew you were there. Acts 17, verse 25. Acts 17, 25. This is what it says. King James. All my quotes are usually King James. God gives life and breath to every living thing. Write it on a piece of card. Put it on the dashboard of your car. Put it on the back of your toilet door. Whatever. Meditate on it. Think about it. And when the verse of Scripture, Acts 17, 25, it's actually the second half of the verse, when that becomes more real to you than your breathing problem, guess what? You've been healed and you're starting to walk in health. Hallelujah. Now, somebody's sitting over there somewhere and you've got problem with your knees. Where are you? Wave at me in the knees. Trouble your knees, crack and groan. And oh, there you are, right in front of me. Job chapter 4 and verse 4 says, I will strengthen the feeble knees. Read that one in the Amplified Bible. Whoa. Job 4:4 says he'll strengthen the feeble and tottering knees. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, someone has sore feet. Sore feet. Feet are sore. Oh, I know about you. There's two more. I've stayed in this guy's house 25 times, so I know a lot about him. I won't tell you. But these two people over here. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Samuel 2, 9. God says, I will keep the feet of my saints. The word keep is the same word that God used in Genesis when he told him he wanted him to keep the garden. It means tend to, care for, and look after. So God wants to tend to, care for, and look after. All right, just a couple more. Thank you, Father. Somebody has been experiencing a real anxiety, okay? And this is an amplified quote. A real anxiety, I mean, probably nobody else knows, but you've just had this anxiety. Some say, I don't even know what the situation is, but you're just really anxious. Scripture says, be anxious for nothing. But in, wave at me, whoever you are. Okay, fine. Philippians chapter 4. Oops, gone too far. Chapter 4, here we go. And verse 6, I just want to read it from the Amplified Bible. Philippians 4, 6, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, that is definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. So you make your wants known to God. I want to be free from anxiety. Thank you, Lord. I receive release from anxiety. Just write the scripture out. Meditate on it. Think about it. Let it become a part of you. Thank you, Lord. Diabetes. Who's got diabetes? Lady. Yeah, lady, it is, yeah. Sorry, I couldn't quite see you there. All right. Joel 3, verse 21 says, I will cleanse the blood that hasn't been cleansed. I will cleanse. So diabetes is a blood problem. So he's going to cleanse it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Revelation to live in the cleansed blood. Not depending on whatever medication the doctor gives. Now, one more. I'm sorry, you're the same? Okay, take same scripture. No, it was Joel 3:21. There are several people listening to me this morning, and you have blood pressure problems. Now, I know about that because I had high blood pressure. I had been to the doctor one time, and he says, Mr. Campbell, we could find you dead on the street. I mean, it was 200 and something over 100 and something. Crazy, crazy, crazy high blood pressure. But you know, I had a wife who every time she'd walk past me or when we're walking, she'd say, I called your blood pressure 120 over 80. I called your blood pressure 120 over 80. I called your blood pressure 120 over 80. I called your... And for several years, I would hear this. I called your blood pressure 120 over 80. I went to the doctor a few months ago, and he said a mouthful of stuff which I wouldn't repeat. But he said, your blood pressure's normal. Why? Because of the Word of God and her confession over me. The blood pressure, where are you? Come on, there's several of you. There's one, two, three. There's another one. There's actually four. Okay, you. All right, Ezekiel 16 and verse 6. King James again. When I passed by thee, King James, and saw thee polluted in your blood, I said you'd live and not die. That's God's word. Hallelujah. See, what are we doing? We're trying to give you the word. My job was to give you the word. Take it to you. Share it with you. Hallelujah. All right. Someone else has been having dizzy spells. Dizzy. You know what that means? Oh, you, this man again. Okay. Proverbs 11 and verse 1. I like this one. It says, a false balance is an abomination to God. We just sort of stretched it a bit, but praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Father, this morning, I release the anointing of your word to all of the people who have received a word from you this morning. But not only to them only, but also to those that I haven't mentioned, and they also have conditions in their body. Father, I speak to backs this morning. And I demand those backs, the same way Jesus spoke to the fig tree. I speak to people's backs this morning and demand that pain go, that vertebrae come into place, that they be normal, straight, and true as you planned, Father. So we receive that today and we give you the praise for it. Father, I speak to those three women who are having blood problems, like that little lady who pressed through and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Father, I speak to their blood flow this morning and demand in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that it be normal. Come into order, divine order now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for that. Father, let your anointing just flow over these people. Touch them now by your Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you so much for it. Father, may these words that I've spoken this morning not just be so many words that they hear and forget, but that you may bring them back to their remembrance in the days that lie ahead, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, I have your pastor's permission to mention about some of our material, and I want to do that. If you don't mind, I just take a moment to do that. If you're interested, that's wonderful. If you're not interested, that's wonderful. We have a number of series of CDs. This one here, for example, it's called Christian Development. This is a series I taught in Bible College in New Guinea, and I'll be there in a month again. There's 9 CDs in this series. They're all there. You can see them, 9 of them. And this series, the complete series, is taught live in the Bible College, and we sell that at $50 if you're interested. This one here is called The God Kind of Faith. The message is, our faith is a powerful force. What does it mean to believe with your heart? Applying the God kind of faith. We walk by the God kind of faith and not by sight. The God kind of faith knows what it wants, and the God kind of faith is a world overcoming faith. 6 messages, $30 if you're interested in that. Praise the Lord. We have a couple of ones here. Here's a message we did a few weeks back, actually in June, I think it was. What's really important? What's really important? You can have it. This lady here. I've got 2 copies of this one that were done at another church. It's called Faith Is. We've got very, very little left on the table. Most of it's gone. Praise the Lord. All right. I give that one to you, seeing you had two words this morning. I'll give that one to that lady. Praise the Lord. We're just sowing seeds, believing God. Now, let me just mention one more thing, and then I'm going to hand back to your pastor. We also do a CD of the month program. Again, if you're interested, you get 12 CDs per year. You get a printed study each month, and you get a letter from Elizabeth and I each month. The cost for the whole year, that's all the CDs, all the studies, all the postage, all the packing, everything is $100 for the whole year. If you're interested to join that, and some of you have already, I know, because I've met a few of you at other meetings we've been doing. If you're interested to join, just see Naomi, who happens to be sitting right in the front here. She's my daughter, and she'll be at the table. Thank you, dear. Just speak to her, and she'll be happy to help you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Ah, Lord. Shudobo kasimi tibu honda barabadia. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for this opportunity just to share. Father, this may not have been the way that we perhaps thought you were going to go, but it's the way you've directed me to go. Father, we just remember that dear brother this morning who took ill. Lord, touch him. Minister to him this morning. Restore health to him. In the name of Jesus. Now, I prayed for a man several years ago in Sydney. I was doing a conference, and there was a man sitting at the back, and he fell off the seat. And in that conference, it was a man's conference, There was an Asian doctor, his name was Lucas Chang, and there were two paramedic drivers who drove cardiac arrest ambulances. They were in this conference, and I'd been teaching. And as I was teaching, I read John 10 and verse 10. As I read the verse, the man fell off a seat at the back of the room. I said, somebody go see that man. This is September, and it was quite warm in Sydney. And I said, heat seems to have gotten to him. The doctor and the two paramedics went to him, and they examined him, and after several minutes, they said his name was Lionel. They said, Lionel has expired. In other words, he's dead. And they said, we better call an ambulance. I said, well, before you call the ambulance, let's pray. We'll go to the highest authority we can go to. And so I read John 10:10 again to them. The thief comes but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I read Hebrews 2:14, which says that Jesus took on flesh and blood that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. And so we prayed a prayer, quoted those two scriptures, and after about 7 or 8 minutes, the man began to breathe again. They took him to hospital when the ambulance came, and their medical report was that Lionel was a little low in sodium. He was a little low in life. The doctors had confirmed he was dead, but he's alive again. Now, he was 82, I think, or 83 years old. He was a widower. And whatever God did when he gave him back his life, he went out and married a young lady of about 50.
Hallelujah. Not sure about that. Hallelujah. So why don't you bow your heads and let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, but before we can understand your word, Lord, we need to come into a relationship with you. We thank you right now, Father, for your hand upon the service or upon Uncle Maury, and we just thank you that he is walking in a newness and an understanding of that newness of life. But right now, Lord, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you're here for the first time or you've been here before but you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you need that relationship with him. You need to come into a relationship before you can understand the word, before you can understand what Norma's been talking about to walk in divine health. You need to know the divine master. Because the Master is holy, he's wonderful, and he gave his life on Calvary just for you. And so this morning I want to ask, is there anybody here that would say, Ian, I don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. I don't know him as Lord and Savior. I wouldn't even know how to study the word because I don't even know the one who wrote the word. With every head bowed, every eye closed, Christians praying, we say, is there anybody here that would raise a hand and say, Ian, I need you to pray with me. I need you to pray. Pray this morning with me. Is there anybody here? Don't listen to your head, listen to your heart. Father, we thank you right now. People's lives are touched and changed. Hallelujah. Well, why don't you look up at me? Everybody is saved and we've heard the word, and that's going to be what is going to carry us this week. Remember.